Welcome to my Love Life podcast, episode number 231, Divine Inspiration. It's March 25th, 2026. There is no longer any music for my intros, which is inclusive for people who are hard of hearing. I am an author, speaker, YouTuber, clearly podcaster. My name is Lisa Lundy, and my content is on emotional intelligence, good mental health, and happiness. If you are suicidal, please call or text 988 or call 911. There is help available. Now, I begin this podcast with a little bit of slowness because I'm going to give you like a mini monologue because I do need to acknowledge that there has been a 2-year break, almost exactly or pretty close, from episode 231 to this one, to my previous podcast, which was 230, then in March 2024. This podcast represents a change in the nature of my podcast. They still will maintain basic psychology, but we're adding a new layer. And it is actually me being vulnerable in a way that's kind of raw and something that I'm not used to. So what happened in the last 2 years? Well, in the last 2 years, I am reporting that I have been through the fires of hell on earth, literally the fires of hell on earth, saved by God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, literally, not figuratively, because I am not that strong, people. I'm not a genius. I'm no one special. And sometimes life is so difficult that you literally have to be carried through it by God. Now, that was probably fortuitous, or because since I was a young child, I made up my mind that I belong to God. Why? Because God is about love, and love resonated with me before age 5. So it's not that I'm special. I actually simply signed up to be on Team God before I even had any idea what that meant, because my cognitive abilities were before age 5. Now, what that means for me is my goal since a very young age has quite simply been to get to heaven, to have eternal life. That is not an earthly goal. That is a spiritual goal for eternal life, which means that I operate differently than people who are not trying to get to heaven or who don't have eternal life as their goal. So I'm not interested in fame. I'm not interested in popularity. I'm not interested in fitting in. I'm interested in doing what's pleasing to God and being obedient to God. So the deviation in this podcast, this is a concept or an idea that is based in the spiritual realm, that being God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And future podcasts, which are fascinating in my opinion, will have a dual nature, keeping the psychology perspective, adding a second separate lens. So, by the way, if my mention of the Holy Spirit irritates you or annoys you, I'm not laughing because it's funny. I do need you to know that even though I am not a biblical scholar by any means, in fact, I'm new to the Bible in terms of reading it, and understanding it by reading it in particular. So I'm not a theologian. I'm not a biblical scholar. I'm none of those things. I'm not special. But I have finished the New Testament and parts of the Old Testament. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 11, it is considered blasphemy against the Holy Spirit that will not be forgiven if you do anything against the Holy Spirit, which not believing in the Holy Spirit would be blasphemy. So those are some opening notes as far as what's happened. Now, in the fires of hell, I'm not giving you today in this podcast the details. At the same time, subsequent future podcasts will be revealing quite a bit more because the fires of hell included a lot of illegal activities that are fascinating and really besides being illegal, quite not okay. But that's not this podcast. So I want to begin, before we get into the definition of divine inspiration, with some benefits. Now, this is from my experience and in my opinion, because quite frankly, while there are books written on divine inspiration, I am not clear about the integrity and the source. And I really cannot recommend things that I cannot recommend, that I do not know about, because it could be misleading. So here's six benefits based on my experience. And I have a breadth of experience with divine inspiration. Number one, it can provide you with a miraculous life. And I mean a miraculous life. I am not saying that it will prevent you from suffering or hardships, or that it will prevent you from persecution, prosecution, slander, betrayal. That is written in the Bible. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, those things will happen to you. At the same time, you can have horrible things happen to you and still have a miraculous life. In psychology, you could look up post-traumatic growth, which I have talked about in previous podcasts, but in this realm, you can have miracles, which I will be talking about. And it really can provide, number two, a pathway or room for God to do what people believe and agree is impossible. Number three, it can reveal things that are hidden. I'll also touch on that. Number four, it can protect you from danger, from unsafe people, and other bad outcomes. Number five, it can help you grow spiritually and build the muscle of discernment. And number six, it can help you grow closer to God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. So because this is a spiritual topic, that gives a nod to the existence of evil. So the question is, does evil exist? Well, it depends on what you believe and what perspective you take. In psychology, there is a field of psychology that researches evil. It's called the psychology of evil. And I am planning on doing a podcast on that coming up soon. But if you wanted a layperson's look at the psychology of evil, a great book that I can recommend easily and do recommend is People of the Lie, which the subtitle is The Hope for Healing Human Evil, which is was written by M. Scott Peck, MD. It's a psychological perspective of evil. Now, M. Scott Peck was a psychiatrist who wrote many books, some of whom you may be familiar with. For example, The Road Less Traveled, The Road Less Traveled and Beyond, etc. M. Scott Peck's book, People of the Lie, has an emphasis on love as being essential for healing and overcoming evil. This book represents a significant work in the field of psychology. And while Dr. Peck was conflicted, he does suggest that spiritual forces may influence human behavior, especially in the context of narcissism. So we will talk more about the psychology of evil in an appropriate podcast, meaning the psychology of evil. But we want to begin by acknowledging, in this being a spiritual podcast, the existence of evil. So what is the definition of divine inspiration, what I'm talking about? And so in the Merriam-Webster definition of divine inspiration, as a noun, it's listed as or defined as inspiration that comes from God. The Cambridge Dictionary lists divine inspiration as an idea for doing something that you believe comes from God. And dictionary.com defines it as aroused, animated, or imbued with something to do with something by or as if by supernatural or divine influence. So those are three definitions from online dictionaries. If we look at the word divine, that is the word divine is defined as of or relating to directly from God, or to discover by intuition or insight or connected with a God or like a God. The Bible is considered to be divinely inspired, meaning the work is inspired by God. The word inspiration means any and all promptings of God's grace in and on the human psyche. The word inspire means to breathe into, breathe upon, or breathe in. Now, actualchristianity.net, not recommending that site, but they had an interesting article exploring divine inspiration and human creativity. And in their article, the divine, they often see as a beacon of love, creativity, imagination, unification, empathy, and kindness, with these qualities being attributed to God, serving as pillars of spiritual and moral guidance across cultures. Now, the Holy Spirit is an integral part of this narrative from the article, Exploring Divine Inspiration and Human Creativity from actualchristianity.net. When tapped into successfully, this is a quote, when tapped into successfully, the Holy Spirit, it serves as a conduit for profound insights and revelations. Now, this same article talks about the devil and sin, among other things. So you can look divine inspiration up online and you'll see a number of books and other articles, and I can't attest to the validity or really actual goodness or anything about what is online. I'm sorry that I can't say that. I mean, I can say that about M. Scott Peck's book, People of the Lie, because I've read that more than once. So what I think is most helpful for this nebulous, unclear topic is to give you a few examples. So I have some examples which I think will illustrate what I'm talking about as far as divine inspiration. Here's the first example. So a number of years ago, when I was six months pregnant, I had some issue that I decided that my current OBGYN was not handling properly. So I set about changing doctors, which quite frankly, I didn't know if you could do that when you were 6 months pregnant. And everyone I asked said, oh, gee, I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. But I did found this doctor who was highly recommended, and his office said he would have a consult with me and then he would decide if he would take me on as a patient. So I went to meet with this doctor on a Thursday. We had a nice short consult, at the conclusion of which he said he would take me on as a patient and I should come set up an appointment for the following Thursday, a week later, to come in and have an exam and get registered as a patient. And he would then see me for the remaining part of the pregnancy. So I was thrilled. I found a new doctor who was highly recommended. And that was Thursday afternoon. Now, Saturday, I get this out of the blue thought that popped into my head that this doctor needed my help with the gluten-free, dairy-free, allergen-free, etc. free diet. So I was an expert in that at the time, and I thought, oh, that's crazy. Now, what I should mention is I had two children already. So I had a 5-year-old and an almost 2.5-year-old. I was cooking and baking everything from scratch, gluten-free, dairy-free, egg-free, peanut-free, trinit-free, etc. free, and homeschooling the oldest. I had a busy life. I didn't have time to sit around and brood or think about this thought that had popped in my head. But the next day was Sunday and it popped back into my head out of the blue while I was busy doing something else, with an added thought that it wasn't the doctor, but maybe it was somebody he knew. So I'm not prone to OCD or ADHD or ruminating or brooding or anything else. So I thought, oh, this is interesting. Went about my business, didn't give it another thought. But as the appointment drew closer, the thought came every day, which I decided, A, I didn't tell anybody. Like, that's crazy. Why would I tell anybody that? That is just a crazy thought. So I didn't tell anybody, number one. And I vowed to myself that I was not going to bring it up with the doctor. So I go for the appointment, which is my first appointment as a new patient, have the exam. The doctor walks me out to the checkout, and on the way out, out of my mouth came the words, unplanned, unscripted, surprising to me, even to me. I said, oh, my five-year-old son hopes that this new baby doesn't have food allergies like his brother. I just couldn't believe the words came out of my mouth, but they did. And the doctor kind of bit on that, like it was a sign, gave me a sign that he knew what I was talking about. So by the time we got to the checkout, out of the blue, it just came out of my mouth, even though I had resigned myself, I would not. I looked at him and said, do you know someone who needs help with the gluten-free diet or food allergies or something in that area? And for a nanosecond, he just froze and looked at me with his mouth open like he couldn't, like I had said some awful, terrible thing, which of course I know I didn't say anything awful or terrible, but it was just this look of wild disbelief. And then quickly he recovered and he said, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. So I didn't ask him any questions. I just said, okay, well, I'm coming back next week for my next appointment, so I will bring some materials that would be helpful. He said, okay. So the next week, I took a box to him, which was decorated. It was a cardboard box, but it was decorated with pretty paper on the outside, and it had a cookbook, a brand new Betty Hagman cookbook, because I had not published my own cookbook at that point. And some gluten-free mixes and xanthan gum and some flours, things that somebody who either had food allergies or was on the gluten-free diet or both would need to get started. It was like a starter pack. Took it to him, had my appointment, left it, explained to him that it was open so he could take every single item out and examine it because I didn't know who needed help. So that's that. Done deal. I leave the appointment. I don't have another thought about it. I'm not wondering who does he know. I didn't ask him who he knew. I didn't ask him anything. And I didn't think about it because that's how I do life. I'm not like sitting around thinking about that kind of thing. So eventually though, a few weeks later, I get a phone call from this woman who identified herself as Sister Mary Teresa. And I'm like, oh, like, why is this nun calling me? Well, it turns out Sister Mary Teresa was the recipient of the little gluten-free food allergy care package I had left with the doctor. So that was surprise number one. So there were a lot of things I didn't know about Sister Mary. I didn't know anything about Sister Mary Teresa or the convent that she was in because I hadn't lived in Buffalo my whole life. And so Sister Mary Teresa led the conversation and she had a number of questions. And her biggest question was, how did this come to happen? I said, what do you mean? She's like, how is it that you came to take this doctor, this care package? And I said, oh, well, it's kind of a long story. And she's, no, I want to hear it. I want to hear how this happened. It was very important to her that she understood what happened that led me to bring the package to him. So I explained to her what I already told you. I described it, though, to her as kind of a wide awake daydream. So I was wide awake, and it would just kind of come into my mind, and then I would flick it away and ignore it and go off on my day. So I'm explaining it using the term wide awake daydream. And Sister Mary Teresa gets all the details for the whole story. And then she says to me, well, Lisa, it's not called a wide awake daydream. To which I said, oh, that's what would you call that? And she said, it's properly called divine inspiration. And I told her, I don't know what that means. What does that mean? And she basically explained that she was praying for someone to help her. She was praying to God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit for someone to help her with the gluten-free diet and her food allergies. and that God gave me her prayer to be delivered through the doctor. Now, that's one aspect. But here's the other thing that I didn't know any of this at the time. So Buffalo, where I was living, was probably population under a million or close to that, 900 and some thousand. But this particular convent was in the tip of the one corner of like South Buffalo near Cheektowaga. And they were very small and they were not affiliated with the diocese. So it was a Catholic nuns, but not affiliated with the diocese and not affiliated with any parish, which I think from what I've learned is not normally how it goes, but it was a Dominican monastery and that's how it was set up. So as a result of being set up that way, number one, it was small, but number two, hardly anybody in Buffalo ever heard of them or knew they existed. And after I got married, Sister Mary Teresa got in touch with me, that began the formation of a long-term relationship where I did little favors for the convent with my kids over a period of 10 or 11, well, more like 11 years till I moved away. And I would say to people, oh, well, the kids and I are going to the convent. And I would say on Dodes Street, and people would correct me. This happened almost every time. People would say, oh, no, you mean the Carmelites, you mean, you know, this street. And I would say, no, I mean the Dominican nuns on Dodes Street. And people would say to me, oh, there's no convent on Dodes Street. I've lived here my whole life. There's no convent down there. You must be mistaken. And so over years, I learned not many people know about the Dominican nuns. So here in a population of, say, 900 whatever thousand, is one person needing someone with special expertise, and how miraculous that God found, well, of course, we knew God didn't have to find me. He knew I was there. But, you know, that I got the message through divine inspiration that someone needed my help. Now, the other interesting, so we've got close to 900 whatever thousand people, one person with the prayer, and very, 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 very few people could have met both the celiac or gluten-free diet and extensive food allergies. Not just gluten-free and dairy-free. That's like minor. We're talking gluten-free, dairy-free, you know, corn-free, soy-free, etc., all of which I was experienced in. So it was miraculous because I don't know where anybody could have found somebody with those abilities to meet her needs at that point in time. So that's an example. That is one example. And that is the moment in which I learned that it is not wide awake daydream or called a nudge. It is properly called divine inspiration. And what was amazing about that was I just had such a beautiful, beautiful experience doing what I call little favors for the nuns at the convent over a period of years. It was exceptionally rich and such a blessing. So that's where I learned the term divine inspiration. And I later would come to understand this was how so many things came to happen in my life that I didn't necessarily understand, not having an idea of the terminology. It's like something else called semiotics, which is signs and signifiers and signification under the field of linguistics that who knows about that? Well, I just learned about that. And we all use signs as signifiers and signification without knowing that we're using it. So divine inspiration, that's the first example. Another quick example is this was an integral and absolute component to a situation where I was instrumental in saving the life of another person. I can't say who or the relationship or any details for their own privacy. What I can tell you is, though, this person was not given any chance to live. That was not a 5% chance of survival or 10 or 1 or 15 or 20. I was told there was medically impossible that this particular person would survive. And And so I still set about working to save their life in the face of no agreement. There was no agreement. And eventually, probably maybe, I'm going to guess, a year, 2 years, 3 years in, people started to tell me to my face, that I was foolish, stupid, foolhardy, ridiculous. I was wasting my time. I was wasting money. That was to my face. There was a lot of chatter and backstabbing and slander going on behind my back because I ended up having to seek out particular specialists given there was no chance of survival. And that, so the divine inspiration in this particular situation, so it's one situation saving the life of the other, what was just, there were so many, from buy this out of print medical textbook to research cancer, which the patient did not have cancer. And there were many, many pieces of divine inspiration in the whole research cancer, etc. So it was a long, long, very difficult journey. I do thank God the person survived. So miraculously, they not only survived, they got completely well. So the proof positive of the significance of the outcome is that I'm going to guess 3 or so years after what I call the death date, the year they were supposed to die at the latest. They were expected to die before the death date, but I would guess about 3 years after the death date. So they're still alive. They're thriving. They're doing extremely, unbelievably well. Nobody can believe they're even alive. Their health was presented at an international medical conference over in Europe because A, people don't survive, and B, they were thriving. They are still alive and well, ages and ages after the quote-unquote death date. But this was a series of divine inspiration. Go to the medical library at UB, and I would go, and I would just pray, and I would find the absolute right medical article out of stacks and stacks and volumes of medical textbooks and journals. It was unbelievable, the divine inspiration that provided this impossible situation to have the outcome that it had. Like, it's just unbelievable. Another quick example is, so before I met Sister Mary Teresa and had this great terminology of divine inspiration, I had a 19 centimeter fibroid, which means that it was 8 times larger than my uterus. And I was told flat out, you have to have a hysterectomy. It's not optional. It's medically necessary. Get your ducks in a row. That's what's coming. So I, being me, prayed and followed divine inspiration, which led me to a doctor in one area that had a brand new surgical technique. And he said, well, it would work well for a 19 centimeter fibroid, but if you want to have children, this is not the new surgical procedure for you because you will be sterile. I'm like, okay, you're not it. Go to the next, divinely led to the next doctor who says, who I had accidentally, you know, met sometime prior. And he said, no, he couldn't help me, but he knew exactly who to send me to. And he did. And the surgeon he sent me to, which was, of course, not in the town I was living in, did 19 centimeter fibroids routinely. That was routine. He did 10 or 12 a month, which is a lot. And to put it in context, people often have hysterectomies with a fibroid tumor that's only 6 centimeters. Mine was 19. And I wasn't promised that I wouldn't have a hysterectomy, but by the grace of God, I did not have a hysterectomy. Although they did tell me I would never get pregnant and I would never never have a baby. And by the grace of God, I did get pregnant and had three healthy children, mostly because the uterine tissue they removed, which was almost all of it, grew back to be normal and healthy. And that's a whole long medical drama that we have all the medical documentation for. The pre-myomectomy, the myomectomy, the C-section, we have all the medical data to prove that that is true. What's the only thing that's missing was all the notes about how did I get divinely led to probably one of the only doctors that could have done it successfully. And he was using at the time, which was then not FDA approved, which I knew it wasn't FDA approved, but he was using Gore-Tex over his uterine surgical surgeries to prevent adhesions. So he was upfront about it and he said, you don't have to use Gore-Tex, but I highly recommend it, but it's not FDA approved. And I got a lot of heat about that, but I did do that and it was amazing. Like that. So of course it would get FDA approved eventually. So that's the third example. Now a quick fourth example before we move on was years ago, I got this crazy divine inspiration to write a letter to a book author. Now, that's not the first time I got divine inspiration to write to a book author. The first time it happened, I ended up writing to Betty Hagman, who was the first and pioneer in gluten-free baking cookbooks. And that letter resulted in Betty Hagman and I becoming good friends. Good enough friends that when Betty Hagman passed, her daughter called me to let me know she had passed, and I was overjoyed that I had gotten a phone call that Betty had passed. Not that overjoyed that she had passed. I was overjoyed and so grateful. I was really profoundly grateful that Betty Hagman's daughter had called me. And so I'm thanking her and just really thanking her for letting me know. And ultimately then Betty Hagman's daughter's like, well, you know, you are her publisher, so of course you would have to know that she has passed. And I said, oh, well, I don't know why you would think I'm her publisher. I'm not her publisher. She said, you're not her publisher? I said, no, I'm not her publisher. And she said, well, then who are you? I said, well, I'm just a friend of hers. Why would you think I was her publisher? And Betty's daughter said, because your number is on caller ID more than any other number. I figured you had to be her publisher. I said, oh, no. Betty and I just enjoyed talking on the phone, which we did. So that was my first segue into writing blindly to an author. Now, the next author, I wanted to write a thank you note, but I didn't have any compunction or feel compelled, but I kept getting these divine inspiration nudges. So I ultimately did it because I try to be obedient to God, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit when I'm clear, because obedience is important. So I write this letter. I'm not going to get into the long story about how difficult it was to get to this author or what the book was for his privacy and for his safety. But what I will say about this is that I ended up talking to the author and then 3 years later talking to him again. And what I then learned 3 years later is the reason why God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit wanted me to be in touch with this particular book author was because he had information that God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit wanted me to know. And it's not mine to reveal, but let me tell you, someday it'll probably come out. So something that didn't make sense, writing to this particular book author in this particular industry, did not make sense to me until 3 years after the fact, when I received a piece of information that made me go, oh boy, that's why that happened. So you may have had divine inspiration, like to call a friend or take a different route to a store or a different route on a trip or go to a particular place or to get a task done now or maybe delay something. And sometimes when you make that phone call or you take a different route or you do something different, you realize that the person you called what just really needed you to call them, or because you took a different route, you missed construction or you missed some other issue. Like you realize, oh, wow, I'm really being looked after. So you may have had instances where you had received some divine guidance, divine inspiration, without recognizing until after the fact that it was divinely inspired. So you may have had that. And people will attest, oh, I didn't get on that plane, and thank goodness, because they had a 10-hour layover. You know, like, I would have missed my whole vacation. Or, you know, there are many times where people will say, oh, well, thank goodness I did this, or thank goodness I didn't do that. And it was because they got divine inspiration or a feeling. So because we're on the topic of divine inspiration, I have to mention that something that would be helpful. And what is helpful in this topic of the divine is to include a mention of spiritual attacks and spiritual warfare. Now, this was new to me. I never heard of spiritual attacks or spiritual warfare until last year from one of my good friends who I consider a spiritual advisor, who explained to me what a spiritual attack and spiritual warfare was. At the time when I was being spiritually attacked, meaning I was being subjected to a minimum of 10 illegal actions against me, done on purpose, done maliciously, done knowingly, etc. So when you operate as someone who has the light of God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in yourself, in your heart, in your body, in your being, you are more likely then going to be spiritually attacked, and spiritual warfare will be conducted against you. You don't have to do something to trigger a spiritual attack or spiritual warfare. Your light, the light of God, the light of Jesus Christ, God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, is enough to trigger demons, Satan, the devil, in other people. So that's a very good thing to know about, because it kind of explains my whole entire life in a nutshell. And in an upcoming podcast, I'm going to be talking about the persona of evil, because based on the psychology of evil research, we know there are certain characteristics of people who are more likely to engage in evil against another human being. So in this kind of warning section, I'm warning you about spiritual attacks without getting into great detail, or spiritual warfare, and the persona of evil is to kind of give you a warning or a heads up that the Bible talks about false prophets and false teachings. And I've only recently learned, because we know I'm not a Bible scholar, I'm a Bible neophyte or novice in the Bible, not in practicing what God commands, not in living a life that is pleasing to God, but in being able to know what's in the Bible. I'll probably never be able to recite scriptures like people do, because I don't have that kind of brain. Just like me memorizing something would be a chore. Like, you do not want me on your Trivial Pursuit teams. I'm not a trivial, I will tank the team. But in this last kind of warning is false prophets, false teachers, false teachings. And if you're going to base your spirituality and your belief in God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, you should understand that there's an original Bible, and then there are adulterated, I'm calling them adulterated Bibles, that have been changed from the original Bible that existed for however many thousands of years, whatever, like a long time. That basically they remove books from the Bible. They even were so bold as to add words. And this was done because some men thought they knew better than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ founded his own church himself. And so adulterated Bibles either have words added, books or books removed, and their teachings then either belittle or minimize or demean or whatever what Jesus Christ taught and implemented. So I say this so that you are forewarned, because this is all big news to me, people. Like, I had no idea any of this. It's new to me as of 2026. And the last thing before I move into the latter part is, what can be helpful here is if you can find trusted spiritual advisors, and I do mean with all care and caution, having vetted them and having known them and know exactly what they belong and what they're reading, what, you know, because Jesus in the Bible foretold and predicted that those following him would be persecuted, betrayed, slandered, hated, and even killed. And the same would happen to the church that he founded. And all of that has come to pass. So Satan, the devil, demonic forces will use people in positions of power to falsely spread what Satan wants to be spread, which is not what Jesus declared. And I do have to say that, you know, all this is to reinforce that people are not always what they appear or seem to be. And it's a good thing for the buyer to beware. I do have to say that I saw a reel recently where, I don't know if the man in the reel, the video, was a preacher or a pastor, or I don't know who he was, but they caught him and they must have told him who put the Bible together, and he hated the church that Jesus Christ founded so much. He said, well, if that's who put the Bible together, then I'm not going to follow Jesus Christ. I mean, that's how much the church that Jesus Christ founded is hated outside by outsiders. And that is not to say that everyone who is inside the church that Jesus Christ founded is above reproach. No, some of them do bad things and have proven themselves to be beyond questionable. For sure, that's what happens when you have human beings. So if you're interested in this topic, or you're struggling to get a better grip on it, some future of my upcoming podcast will probably likely help you. But here's a few questions before I wrap up to give you some things to think about if you're interested in using this. And I have to say, I have had, I don't know how to say this without sounding like a bragger, I have been gifted so many miracles from God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, it takes my breath away. It takes my breath away what God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, which is called, by the way, the Blessed Trinity, got me through in the last two years. It's unbelievable. And no, we're not getting into that, because why would I want to talk about my trauma and all the awful things people have done to me? Because they didn't take me out of the game. They didn't kill me. I mean, they certainly hurt me. It was not without consequences. But I am profoundly and deeply blessed. And this is one of the ways that God ushers in information and blessings and miracles. Because several things, and by the way, so I don't do anything by myself. I always have God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and other people. Like, what have I done alone by myself in the world? Not really much. So some questions to help you. Number one, is your thinking rational? That is extremely important, whether you're trying to get to heaven or not. I have a podcast called Cognitive Distortions. Irrational thinking is a problem and will cause you problems. And irrational thinking, unfortunately, is extremely common in the world. And that podcast will help you. But even the Bible speaks about irrational thinking, calling it deluded thinking and another term. So is your thinking rational? Get on top of that. Number two, Do you hold grudges, harbor resentment, hope for revenge, or the downfall of others who have been cruel to you, done you wrong, or betrayed you? Are you frequently annoyed or angry with other people? Those are good places to look. Do you have an open mind? Open-mindedness or a growth mindset is extremely important if you'd like to take advantage of divine inspiration. Number four, do you have a quiet, calm mind? Many people, I've learned late in life, overthink, they catastrophize, they brood, they ruminate, they have negative thoughts, or they have OCD or ADHD, things that kind of give the mind a mind of its own. In other words, they don't have control over their thinking. You can learn to control your mind. And I do have a podcast about learning to control your mind, which is very, very helpful in life, even if you're not trying to get to heaven. It's certainly helpful if you're trying to get to heaven, which we will discuss in future podcasts. Next up is metacognition. You might not be familiar with the term metacognition, but increasing your metacognition will help you. So metacognition is kind of your awareness or your understanding of your own thought process. How do you think? Knowing how you think, how you learn, how you solve problems, which does include some aspects of self-regulation, is going to be very helpful. And yes, the Bible talks a lot about your mind and your thinking, believe it or not. Number six, is love your overriding emotion and motivation, meaning charity and generosity? I'm not talking about love in terms of the context of an intimate partner relationship or spouse. I'm talking about general love, love for family, for friends, for community, for humanity. Is love your overriding motivation and way of operating? Number seven, do your thoughts, emotions, and behaviors align with the Word of God and God's commandments? Number eight, have you wronged others? Have you betrayed others? Do you gossip? These are things that show you're not in alignment with God, because they are not acceptable behaviors in the Bible. So this, all of these questions and being able to use divine inspiration involves you doing what we call the work. So when we say the work, what we actually mean is you working on yourself, your internal self. And that means growth and development. Closed-minded people will typically not usually work on themselves. They will run from anything that is a growth mindset or growth and development. And for you, if you're interested in growth and development, almost all of my previous 230 podcasts will help you to grow and develop. So let's talk about a couple takeaways. Number one, there is support in psychology for the existence of evil. Well, that kind of means that there is support for other things, good things. Number two, you can choose to become more aware of yourself and grow your ability to take advantage of divine inspiration. Number three, this is not a cut and dry topic. It's very unclear and nebulous. And one thing I didn't say previously, which I will say here, because we are now using the uncensored, raw, uncut cliff notes, bare cliff notes for podcasts. But when I get something that comes in out of the blue as a thought, it always comes when I'm busy doing something else, so it gets my attention. And it gets my attention because I have very clear, focused thinking. I'm not a brooder. I don't ruminate. My mind does not wander. I am very blessed. I have had ages of practice with having a clear mind and control of my mind and peace within my mind, a lot of peace. So for me, something will come in, a thought, an idea, a concept, or a course of action out of the blue, I typically go, oh, that's interesting, and flick the thought away because I'm busy. And if it keeps coming back, which is not usually more than once a day, it might come one day and not for two more days, and et cetera, then I will start to pay attention. And in some instances, if it's a very foreign idea or makes zero sense, it will have to be many times. Like when I researched cancer for that person who had the health problem, it took 5 instances of God sending people to tell me to research cancer before I went, this is the 5th person who's told me to do that in 5 months, 1 a month. 5 strangers said the same thing, knowing that the person I was helping did not have cancer. So it's not cut and dry. I don't have, like, when a thought comes in, do I know if it's divine inspiration? No, I do not. I am not clairvoyant. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a seer. I'm nobody special. I mean, I'm grateful that God has gifted me and shaped me and formed me in a way where I have skills in the area of high emotional intelligence and mental health and happiness. But those are things that God set forth that I fell into because I follow God. So it's not clear cut. And people who are in my innermost circle will know. I'll go, I'm not sure if that's divine inspiration or I should do anything. So I'm just going to pray about it. So it's not clear cut. But using using divine inspiration can create a door or a pathway for miracles and the impossible. I gave you some examples. People thought for sure there was no way I could ever have a 19-centimeter fibroid removed without having a complete hysterectomy. And of course, I certainly didn't think I would have kids, but you can get all kinds of things. And the last thing about this before I go give you a couple quick suggestions is that this topic is a foundation for upcoming content, and I will be referring to it so that I don't have to explain divine inspiration in multiple podcasts. All right, so here's a couple quick suggestions before I sign off. Number one, if you're at all interested in getting to heaven, and if you're not, this is not for you. But if you're interested in getting to heaven and having eternal life, growth and development is your like best friend outside of making sure you're reading an original Bible and not some man-made, adulterated, books removed, words added kind of version. So growth and development. Number two, an open mind and an open heart are integral. They're going to be integral for growth and development, but also necessary for you to be able to receive divine inspiration. Number three, if you are prone to overthinking, negative thinking, catastrophizing, brooding, ruminating, first of all, that cannot be easy. That is not good. I don't have experience of my thoughts being that way because I started too young to have rational thinking and clear thinking and etc. by the grace of God. But you can learn to quiet your mind and control your thoughts, and that is extremely valuable even if you don't want to go to heaven. Increasing your emotional intelligence, number 4, that will help you. 5, praying. Well, I do support that, and that will help you and help you in a lot of ways. I would, number 6, ask the Blessed Trinity for help, for clarity and guidance. Number 7, always be aware. Jesus Christ founded one church himself over like 2,000 years ago. Don't quote me on dates. We know this is a new area, and I'm not a theologian or a biblical scholar, but around 2,000 years ago or whatever. And now, so that was one denomination of Christianity. Now in 2026, I understand there's something to the tune of 40,000 denominations of Christianity. All can trace their roots back to some divorce or division from the church that Jesus Christ himself founded, where they take disagreement with what Jesus taught, and it's in the Bible. So be aware of false prophets, teachers, and people who might be filled with demonic forces. Because if you're following Jesus, there's one church he set up. All right, now the next thing I highly recommend, which will help you in all ways, even if you don't want to go to heaven. And by the way, I don't care if you want to go to heaven or not. Would I like you to go to heaven? Of course I would like you to go to heaven. I would not like anybody to burn in hell. No, that's not, that would not make me happy. But it's also none of my business how you do your life. And if you're going to be evil, you probably will burn in hell. But anyway, number 8 is to give thanks to God in all things, which includes giving thanks to God in difficult times. I already told you that in the last 2 years, I literally went through the fires of hell on earth, saved by God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit carrying me. Yeah, they carried me. And God's mercy and divinity and tender mercies. And it's amazing. And so you can learn to have joy in your suffering. That's a whole nother topic. And I have talked about that in previous podcasts and this book, Holy Abandonment. But be grateful in all things. Gratitude is very powerful, even if you don't want to go to heaven. If you want to have good mental health, gratitude is helpful. And being grateful to God will help you. So I'm Lisa Lundy saying thank you for listening to my Love Life podcast, episode 231 on divine inspiration. It's a powerful tool you could use. Don't use it if you're under demonic influences, because you'll think you're listening to God and you're actually listening to Satan or demonic forces. For those of you who are open to a blessing, I ask the Blessed Trinity to bless you and keep you all the days of your life. And if you're not open to a blessing, don't worry. God will honor that request, I'm sure. Take care for now.